This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story is worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. Sean and I are so excited about our show today. Sean, tell us a little bit about what's going to happen.
Well, you know, we get to talk about a lot of subjects and we have incredible guests every time. But today we're going to be talking about betrayal because it's one of the top five issues that people deal with in their career that are derailers. And this is according to Forbes magazine, as well as Harvard Business Review. So we're going to be talking about how Christians should deal with a betrayal. We know how Jesus dealt with it. He actually died on the cross and killed it. But we're going to talk about real ways to actually deal with workplace betrayal. Then we're talking to our friend Wes Hone, and Wes is leading kingdom business leaders from around the world. He's one of those people who's putting together the thought processes, the training, to how do you apply kingdom in real ways that are practical and actually see a difference in your life. And you've done some events with him. I've done his podcast as well. I know you have as well. But he's just such a great person to talk to about this. And there's been a lot of ministries and agencies that have done this for years, but we need those 2.0 kind of people. And he has that kind of like that next generation feel on it for how to connect the dots between God and business. So I'm excited about him as well. Let's start out today with today's listener feedback. Tell us about it.
So we had a listener write in, "Don't miss an episode. I look forward to each new episode, and this podcast has been huge in increasing my faith as I hear from Christians all over the world who are in relationship with Jesus and learning how alive, faithful, and active God continues to be in business. Thank you, Sean and Bob, for this podcast." And then they gave it 5 stars, Sean, and this listener is Rebs Ran.
Thanks, Rebs Ran. I'm so glad we earned your 5 stars. And we don't want to just hear your feedback on your podcast server, but we'd also love to hear from you on our social medias, Bob Hassan or Sean Bowles. We're the only ones of those names, I believe. And then we also would love to hear from you on YouTube. So make sure to leave a comment or a question with us so we can interact with you on the social medias, on the YouTube. We're so excited about it. But we have a real topic today. We already told you it's about betrayal, but I want to look at this article I just read. It's about professional betrayal and the unjust violation of the professional trust or confidence, and to betray ethical and conduct, to betray ethical conduct and sound business principles for one's own gain and betterment is what workplace betrayal looks like. And the article was noting, Bob, professional betrayal happens so often in business because people who are the most successful and professionals are targeted by the weakest, who are allowed to seemingly get away with it in our society today. And we see this played out publicly over and over. This is Captain Brett Crozier, is that commonplace and ordinary individuals thrive in certain bureaucracy, and what is rewarded above all else is conformity, not individuality. Regardless of what the executives state outwardly within the regard to the culture and company values, if you stand up for excellence to some, you threaten the bureaucracy for which you work, and therefore, by default, you become a target. Once a target, it is down to your ingenuity, stakeholdership, relationships, and political savviness and sheer strategic maneuvering to protect yourself and your team and still deliver impactful work. And so you see this in a lot of different ways. And I think, you know, we've talked to people and we've prayed for people. I've had people cry in my arms who've been betrayed, and church staffs and business staffs and people who are entertainers. I've had friends who've had whole scripts stolen from their script writing partner and didn't get any credit. I mean, this is so commonplace. And we see this in the Bible a lot, where even Jesus was betrayed by all of his best friends. So how do we deal with betrayal in the marketplace?
It's an amazing question. And, you know, when you start thinking about betrayal, Sean, you know, the first thing you think about is in your personal relationships, if someone's betrayed you. But in business, it looks a little different. Like your customer says, "The check's in the mail."
Yeah.
Or the customer says something like, "Oh, we'll pay you for that. Just do the work."
Yeah.
And over time, you realize that the verbal application of saying, "Hey, we're just going to pay you to do the work," doesn't work anymore. "Thank you very much. Will you sign this paper authorizing us to do the work?"
You know, it's funny because there's a contractor who had me sign like a 3-page document for like the most simple job. And I said, who's hurt you?
Yes.
Who hurt you this bad? Yeah. This is so much bureaucracy. It should have been just an easy sign off.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when I remember that one of the first major contracts I got, the guy shook hands with me. And then a year and a half later, I was trying to get my final payment. So I'd gotten progress payments for 18 months. This woman at the company of the guy that I shook his hand with said, we can't release your final payment because we don't have a contract. And was just so funny. The job was done. They paid, 90% of the money, and we didn't have a contract. I'm not that old that handshake agreements didn't exist, but there's never been anything like that since. And we're signing contracts, and then for every area that we need, that customers asking for something to be done, we're asking for written authorization because we don't want to be betrayed. And you do learn that over time if you don't get it signed, you don't have the ability to get paid.
Yeah, and I think of the other aspect of this is people who work in a corporate structure is a corporate ladder, and how there's a vying for position, and sometimes people have favor or they have issue, and then all of a sudden somebody betrays them, whether they self-promote above them or they minimize them or whatever it is. I've seen, when I was pastoring, one of the top prayer requests besides for marriage was for people's careers. Like, somebody at my work has betrayed me and has turned against the whole company against me, and I'm just having such a hard time. And I think, this is what people deal with. And I think the Bible is so good at helping us to walk through what it looks like to love in the midst and forgive, like forgive 70 times seven, to forgive people. And forgiveness doesn't mean that they're not responsible for their actions. It means that I forgive them even though they are responsible for their actions. And it doesn't mean I trust them. It means that I trust God. It means that I'm not giving trust away again, but I'm releasing the responsibility of the pain they just caused me. And I think when businesses and in marketplace and in these kinds of roles, we have to get really good at forgiveness and releasing and of not getting bitter. I remember I've told you the story, the Inside Edition of one of the contracts that I was in with a Christian. Mm-hmm. And I knew I wasn't being paid fairly. Something was going on. I was like, wait, it was basically a commission-based thing. And something was going on, and his CFO left him disgruntled and gave me a folder of all the payments he owed me. And it was basically like one of the biggest amounts of money I would have ever made in my life for anything was in this folder. And they had mismanaged his funding trying to make another project happen. And so they had hidden this folder, and he had asked the CFO to hide this. And when the CFO left disgruntled the company, I didn't ask him to talk to him. I wasn't even friends with him. He brought it to me, slammed it, down in front of me and said, I'm out of here. And I opened it to see what it was. And I'm seeing all these purchase orders and these things. And I realized oh my gosh, I need to get this money back. I need to work on this. And the only way, when I confronted him, he said, I didn't do any of that. I said, I have receipts, brother. This is real. And then he goes, you're going to have to sue me or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And I remember just going, oh my gosh, this is somebody who my whole world loves. This is somebody who I really cared about. And he just chose this. He did it out of shame because his other project that he had borrowed the money for failed. And now he had nothing unless it goes into his personal finances. So I remember just sitting there going, what do I do with this? And I remember Pastor Bill Johnson from Reading, I ran the situation by him. And he said, Sean, you could spend the next 5 years suing him or going to arbitration or whatever you need to do. And it's going to create a public scandal because he's also a public figure. It's going to create a public scandal for both of you. It's going to take a lot of your energy, a lot of your time. Do you really want that? Do you believe that God can recreate this again? Can you release him, forgive him? And do you believe that God will release funding to bring a recompense or redemption of this, even if it's not right away? Can your life produce this again? And I said, absolutely. And he said, well, then, and I just had confidence that that could happen. God is so good. He goes, then release him. He's going to reap what he's sown. Release him. You're not going to reap what he's sown, though. You're going to reap blessing. And I released it. And I literally burned the file as a sacrifice of praise to God and worship to God and just burned it. So I'd never looked at it again. And he actually passed away shortly after that, this other man. And it was so sad because I was I was hoping for more redemption than just me experiencing great blessing again. But I just learned a lot from that to not have to do what the normal world would do is sue them and get a mediator or whatever. I'm I love that there's a place and there's time to sue. There is a time organizations. I've heard many organizations over patents or over over intellectual property or whatever it is. I'm not against the legal process. But in that context, it felt like it wasn't the kingdom. And I had to go for a kingdom, you know, result, not a king, not an earthly result.
I love that story because, you know, it's the heart of what betrayal is in business. And, you know, I've been through a season where, you know, this year already I've been to 2 mediations and
wow,
it's not fun. And wow, as you count the cost and you look at, okay, is there going to be binding arbitration or eventually litigation? The amount of energy that you spend looking backward to try to recover something, you know, this question, can God recreate what was lost and rebuild what was stolen, is so biblical and so true. And I think if our listeners and viewers are in this place where they're contemplating, you know, a litigation because of a betrayal, that is an incredible question to ask. And I think this is the secret sauce that we have with Jesus in business is to ask these type of questions. And of course, sometimes the questions are, you know, we need to move forward with the next step in litigation. But other times, like in your case, the answer is I need to release this and burn it. I've had those same stories where I've burned something so that there was no way that me in my mind could go back. Yeah.
Well, and I have a friend who I recommended when she got my advice from me that she sue that it was actually a studio she worked for because they would keep repeating that mistake and the violation against other people in the company too, because they really betrayed her. So I was like, I think you're right. Like, you're not suing for money. You're actually suing to change their internal culture and hold them accountable. And not that money's not a wrong motivation to sue for, but if it's in the right context, but it's a place, these aren't believers. These are people who took advantage of her, betrayed her, and then basically abandoned her. And so she sued, and it was really good because they changed their internal policy and the judge made them prove that they would do it. And there was all these people who came before her that came to her and said, we weren't brave enough and we just didn't think we would win. And here you won. I mean, this is years ago. It took like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
But she won this lawsuit and she won a lot of money. And they also had to change their internal policy as part of, like, I don't think, actually, let me say this. Let me stop that. She didn't, she went to mediation with them because she was going to go all the way to lawsuit. And the person who mediated with them made sure that one of the things that they agreed to as a company, as a whole studio, this is a huge international studio, is that they would change the policy that caused her to be able to be betrayed. And that's so profound. I just think, like, there's times that, you know, as Christians, we get involved with sometimes the legal process because we're bringing justice or we're bringing accountability or those kinds of things as well. But we can't look at the world to solve our problems. And that's the thing that we have, like, even between Christians, Matthew 18, like, go to your brother, bring someone with you to go to your brother, bring leadership to go to your brother. Like, it's a little bit different when it's Christian to Christian, but at the same time, trust God. When you're being betrayed, it's, you want recompense, you want retaliation almost, you know, you want restitution, you want restoration, but that's going to come from God, not from man. They, no matter what you get from them, it will never ease that burden completely. It may help, but it won't ease it. It
comes to a heart issue, right? It becomes a heart issue for us. Yeah. Obviously, when we think of betrayal, a biblical betrayal, we think of Judas and Jesus. Yeah. But, you know, there's a couple scriptures that we love, Sean. I'm going to read Matthew 6, 14 through 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others for their sins, your Father will not forgive you for sins. Now, the way I look at this is it's a heart issue. Mm-hmm. We can forgive, but then we can go ahead and go on with whatever means we need to recover. In your case, you believe the Lord could replace it and you did the right thing. In other people's cases, they've had to go through mediation or arbitration or eventually litigation. But it's our heart. Like, is it driving you? Is it consuming you?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you can't release it to God, I mean, if you're living in the torment of what that betrayal did to you, Jesus came to set you free from that torment. And it may take a therapist, a counselor, a pastor, a friend to walk you through it, but you don't want to stay stuck there because it will do. I mean, a lot of times doctors have told me, physical doctors, like we're talking about, like mainstream doctors who aren't Christians, have told me bitterness creates sickness and disease in the body when you're older. And so much of cancer and these kinds of things are linked to, it broke down your immune system when you were bitter and you were stressed out and you had anxiety and your immune system was just getting damaged. And then it turns into this. And so I want to encourage you to like go on the journey. Don't stay in that mode of trauma from betrayal, but Jesus was betrayed and got completely over it and came back to the disciples who betrayed him and built the entire church with them, like built everything up till now with them. And so I think it's really important that we look at it and go, Jesus can get over it where his best friends betrayed him. The ones he loved the most betrayed him. That was his family. We can get over when somebody at work betrays us. And a lot of times you should expect that in this world, that's one of the human things that happens is betrayal. But what are you going to do about it with your heart? And can your faith actually move you past the wounding of betrayal? And it absolutely can. Well, we have an incredible question. Bob, Joy, do you want to say something?
Yeah. That's so amazing. And before we get to the question, I had a friend who was a worship leader. He was in his 40s. He got cancer and he passed away. He ended up living in our house with us, with his family. And I was out with him once during chemotherapy. We put the chemotherapy bag in the car and we drove to the beach.
And, sounds like you.
Yeah. And I asked him, like, why do you think you have cancer? And he said, because I couldn't release bitterness.
Wow.
And I said, you? I mean, this is the guy singing about the Lord. He's this beautiful worship leader. And he couldn't really, you know, he couldn't get rid of the bitterness. And I was so impacted by that statement. So going right to what you said about the doctors. Well, the question of the week comes from Darcy. And I love this question. Are you ever too old to start a new career in Christ?
Yes. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think of, you know, so many people who have recreated their lives four or five times. We've had guests who said, I've had five careers. And they might be in their 60s or 70s and still sharing. Mm-hmm. And I've shared that statistic about people who have the greatest fulfillment of life and the greatest time of your life for fulfillment is in your 60s, then in your 50s, then in your 70s, according to sociologists. And so in those seasons, you know so much about yourself and the world around you that if you decide to pursue something, it actually will not take as long as if you start in your 20s because the level of wisdom you're operating in, it doesn't mean it won't take time. There's not process. But you will be expedited. And if you're pursuing something that's within your wheelhouse to do, especially if it's in your passion center, and you probably have some resources or you have relationships to help that a little faster. But I just see God recreating so many people's lives right now. It's like there's a big reboot. There's been articles about this all over the place. And the reboot's not just for 20 and 30 year olds. The big career reboot's happening in the nations all over, and it's people of all ages. And God loves to start something in an impossible age for us, like Sarah having a baby. He loves to do the impossible in seasons of life. And many people are like, why are you blessing me now, God? I'm 65 years old and I don't have the same energy I would have had for this at 30. I'm actually wanting to retire soon, or I want to change my life soon or do something else soon. And God's like, because you run out of yourself. You need me to do this and I want to display my glory in it. And so let me do it my way.
Well, Darcy, I'm going to read you some names and you're going to feel good. All of our listeners are going to feel good about this. Henry Ford started Ford at the age 40. Christian Dior, age 41. Sam Walton, Walmart, age 44. Bob Parsons, GoDaddy, age 47. Addie Dossler, Adidas, age 48. Bernie Marcos, Home Depot, age 49. Ray Kroc, McDonald's, age 52. Chelio Yoduva, Red Bull, age 53. Harlan Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken, age 62. And yeah. Bill Porter, last one, Bill Porter, E-Trade, age 63. You're not behind. You're only one decision away.
Oh, it's so good. Well, tell us about our guest, Bob. I know we both know him, but you've become personal friends with him.
Well, he's both of our friends, and yeah, he's from down under. He's from Australia. His name is Wes with a Z. Home, and he's leading a faith in business group. He's a thinker. He's been in the trenches of business, having built and sold 8 companies since the age of 18. Wow. He's now a business coach, a trainer, and a speaker, and he holds conferences. He's passionate about teaching Christian entrepreneurs how biblical principles apply to the marketplace so they can build highly profitable businesses as well as influence the world around them. Wes has this incredible, unique ability to decode what the scriptures say about business and is committed to activating Christian entrepreneurs to change culture. Up next, Wes Home.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show and podcast. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers for exploring the marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos. And this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry. But we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry. But we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family. And we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bowles team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Well, welcome back. We're here with our friend Wes Hone, all the way from Australia. Wes, how are you?
Yeah, really good. Thank you.
I want to say good day, but it just doesn't sound right coming from me. But I'm so glad you're here. And I've been able to be on, and so has Bob, your platform and your podcast. And just what you're doing has impacted so many people. But we're going to hear some of the backstory. We're going to hear some of your story, your personal journey with Jesus. And I'm so excited to go there. Tell us a little bit about what you're building right now before we go backwards, and just how God's brought you to this stage of life.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you so much for the invite. You two are heroes of mine. I both look up to you. So yeah, right now, I guess, you know, I run an organization called Kingdom Business Global. And we are, I guess, on a mission to weave together the really practical elements of business, like how to do sales and marketing and recruitment and HR and financial management, weave together with like deep scripture and understanding of the purpose of, you know, how to use business to take dominion, and weave those together, because when we do, it's explosive. So, you know, we do that through big events, and we do that through right down to small events. And really just on the war path to try and combine those two worlds and see Jesus back at the center of the marketplace.
Wes, what's the passion behind it? Why are you doing this?
Yeah, I feel like it was 2 weeks after I came to Christ that the Lord gave me the assignment. This was back in 2004. So I'm coming up 20 years as a believer. And, you know, and he showed me I would start a training academy for Christian entrepreneurs. But it came out of like, so I became a believer. I went full on reading the scriptures. I got to Leviticus. Like, I still remember one day out in the backyard of my place where I was living at the time. I kind of knocked off work a bit early. I was in the backyard reading my Bible, and I'm reading about the Jubilee cycle. I'm reading about, you know, how to handle debt in Leviticus. And I'm thinking, this is nothing like the world that I had grown up in. I was a businessman before I was a Christian. And so my world fell apart. And that's when I decided I need to learn what everything God says about how to trade, how to lead, how to handle finance, how to do business. And I need to then almost redeem that in a sense in my own life, and then build a syllabus for how to train that to others.
Well, and it's interesting that you felt so compelled to do that. Obviously, it's a God calling. Like, he was really showing you and moving on your life. That's not always common for when people receive kind of that sense of redemption or that feeling of like, I have to go after this. Tell us about, just let's go backwards now, because I love what you're doing now, but let's go backwards and talk about like, when you're first saved and like the first things that were happening in you and just in your business, even if there was a pre-Christ business going on. Tell us about that story.
Yeah, I've done business since my earliest memories. It's all I ever wanted to do. School for me was a was a bit of a waste of time. I just wanted to run businesses. And I started my first one officially at 19. And it was just window washing. We did high-rise window washing. And I did that for a bunch of years. So there was always business. And if I can be honest, I thought that the role that business played in my life was just to give me everything I wanted, right? I literally thought that was, you know, if I wanted a bigger house, I built a bigger business. If I wanted another car, I built a bigger business. And if I wanted a few more watches, I just built a bigger business. That was like my worldview. And it absolutely like fell apart when I started to fall in love with the Lord, because he started to show me that, you know, that's the most selfish way that you can run. And actually business, commerce, plays a role in advancing the kingdom if it's done the right way.
Wow.
So, back at that time, I was broken, angry, frustrated, addicted to all kind of dumb things. And all of that had to be peeled away. And what I've seen, as I have laid my life down more and more, the Lord has promoted me more and more, right? It's almost like if you're faithful with those little crumbs that he gives you at the start and you walk them out, then he can lift you. And that's certainly been, you know, I guess the living testimony that I've had between then and now.
Was what is your, I know how much you love business and I know how much you love to talk about the X's and O's, but what are you passionate about? What is the thing that wakes you up in the morning and drives you?
There would be more than one, but if you wanted like an overarching theme, like the thing that would get me upset, teary, you know, emotional is, I guess when business owners who have a faith play small and they don't realize that heaven would absolutely love to back them, mm-hmm. right? And really kind of show off through their life, when they don't walk in everything God's got for them in that way, that's I guess it's a frustration that has led to a passion, right? It's like, because I've seen so much of that, I want to bring something so different so that people can experience like what happens when somebody lays down their life and God gets involved and then he shows off in their life and what can be done. That's the overarching theme that kind of makes me sad when people don't do it, but I leap with joy when I see that come alive in somebody's business journey.
I'm going to go backwards because I love this answer. And I think it comes from your experience with God. It comes from you understanding and having some revelation in your heart about God. Take us back to a time where maybe there was a difficult time processing your spirituality with your work, or maybe there's a breakdown where God had to bring a breakthrough. Take us back to something where it's like, it was a moment in time where some of these principles where it's like, I have to do this with God and for God versus I'm just going to do my own thing.
Well, I mean, I think there's lots of those in a sense, because you have to die to self every step of the way. But I'll give you a very recent example. So 3 years ago, I decided to build a digital agency alongside our consulting and advisory firm. And it grew really quick, like a hockey stick. Like it was amazing. And, you know, we had like 19 team members. Everyone was new. It was really cool over in that side of the business. And I was looking at it and I'm thinking, I'm falling out of love with this. I'm sensing there's a grace that's lifted off this business, which is really bizarre when you see such a grace on a business. So I, you know, in my quiet time and over a few months, the Lord starts to show me that, and literally a prophetic word from our intercessors that says that project, you've got to give it up now, essentially that clear.
Wow.
And so that was a real reconcile, because I'm like, one, I want to fight for stewarding it. But two, I want, you know, because I'm just a, like probably most of us, I'm a fighter in that way. But I also want to honor what the Lord's asking me to do and confirming what I'm feeling. And so, I'm then in January this year calling the whole team in the boardroom and saying, you know, everyone's getting redundancy. And that's quite a bit to reconcile when you've casted all this vision over 3 years to get this team focused on this outcome. And they've done a good job and we're all working. And then the Lord's like, that's not success. And I don't want to take that thing into your future. Right. And so as I'm pulling this thing apart, I'm really having to go back to God. I'm reconciled. Did I hear you in the first place? Yeah. Did I miss the mark on the journey? Was this always part of your plan? And what lessons do I need to be taken from this? But what I would say, just to glorify God, is the minute I said yes to the painful journey of winding that back, I saw a supernatural increase on the other things I did in a ridiculously tangible way. So, and it was supernatural the way the Lord lined up outcomes for us to wind it down without too much pain. But it was definitely a period of time where I had to go back and say, like me reflecting, like, did I birth an Ishmael? Like, did I get that wrong? You know, did I go too fast and too hard? Did I have the wrong people? Did I get caught up in something? Like, really taking that back to the throne and having to refine it. And even over a short period of time between then and now, it's like, I can see some of my own fleshy mistakes. And I can see where the Lord has really taught us and grown us through that period of time.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I want to just piggyback off that, because you're a classic type A. And so you're going to build things and you're going to work 16 hours a day. If left to your own devices, but you have a wife and you have a family. So talk to us about, you know, back then you came to Christ and what was your family situation? And then moving it forward, how has your wife helped you and your family stay in check?
That's a great question. Yeah, so I grew up in a household that has never known any faith. I can't see a Christian anywhere back through my family line, which is wonderful because it's my responsibility to change that moving forward. Mm. You know, and it was a pretty toxic home. My parents, my dad left on my 8th birthday. But it's cool. Like, he lives in one of my houses. Like, we have a great relationship today, but it was pretty tough there for, you know, for a period of time and pretty toxic. Argued over money every single night of my childhood. Right. So not the greatest foundation, which is fine. I mean, people have it a lot worse. Right. So when I came to Christ, obviously a single man still, and that was 2004. And then I met my wife about 2 years later at a young adults type thing, just a Friday night church group. It sounds like we were young. I wasn't that young. I'm not sure on reflection why I was there. But anyway, I was there and I saw her. She wanted to change the world as well with her walk and with her faith. And we just collided in our worlds, and it was beautiful. And so her name's Kimberly. She's an incredible human being. And then our first daughter, I've got three daughters. The first one was born on our 1 year wedding anniversary. Right. So we haven't had a wedding anniversary ever, actually, not once since we got married. Right. Cause it's our daughter's birthday. So I've got one wife and three daughters, and I want to keep it in that ratio for the rest of my life. So Kimberly is, she did a wonderful job of raising the kids for those first, you know, like 12 years. That was her sole job. And to her credit, not a natural gifting. Like, she's a career girl that laid down that to raise up those kids and did a great job. But in the last few years, so she ran in our federal election as a politician. And that was her first real run. And I mean, she got 43% of the primary vote in our area and missed by a little bit. So she spent the last 2 years leading up to the next election really kind of, you know, growing her brand in our area, and will run again next year and has a very good chance of winning. So she'll be in the political realm. I'll be over here in business. And I've got to tell you, those two worlds work incredibly well together, right, from a kingdom perspective. But Kimberly... you know, she's very discerning. I don't know whether it's, I mean, I kind of get that sense that all females are a little bit more discerning than maybe it's females are more discerning than businessmen because we can be so stubborn. I'm not sure, but let's just call it that. So many times I would race off, like you said, a bit of a type A in the early years, and I would start so many things that didn't go anywhere. And that was my bad. But the minute I learned to slow it down and get us on the same page and check that we're on the same page, things really flourished.
Wow.
And I don't need her to be active in any business. I mean, we tried that. We don't work well together on a daily basis.
Right.
But when we're fighting spiritually for the same outcomes, then we're almost unstoppable.
Wow, that's such a great answer. That's really interesting. Now, in your current company now, do you have any family or close connections working with you, or is it people who are more external?
External. So my 15-year-old, Charlie Grace, she has a real flair for business. She's a little bit like a mini me. So like she just came to our 3-day event and just shook hands and engaged with people. Like she's really amazing. There's a high chance she's not sure whether she wants to be a NASA engineer or work for me. And so I want the latter, right? You know, we don't really need to go to space. We need her to use her gifts to help this world. So she'll probably come through, but at this stage, I've just got the most incredible faith-filled, God-loving humans that you could ever imagine around me in my core group.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome.
Wes, I'm taken by your wife, and Lauren and I also could not work together on a day-to-day basis, but we are a powerful couple together because we seek the Lord together, and she holds me accountable. And, you know, I don't know, is it Lauren or the Lord that's speaking? Is sort of how it is in my house, and I'm really, really happy with it. But having a dynamic relationship is something that, like you said a little earlier, in your growing up, people have had it worse. And I know that some people don't have dynamic, powerful relationships. And so the reason I asked that question is because I wanted our listeners and viewers to hear you talk about the power of a dynamic relationship, which you did is beautiful. What's happening now? You just finished your big conference in Australia. And now what are you thinking and pointing towards?
Yeah. Okay. That's a cool question, because there has been quite a bit of change. Just to weave two stories together, that winding down of the digital agency, I didn't know at the time, but it was to birth something pretty significant in my world, which, and I really feel like there was a test there of, have I made an idol out of this business? And what am I holding on? Will I just let it go? Will I actually let go of a great business that's growing here? And I was, praise God, faithful in that to wind it down. So what's come on the other side is we've always run everything under a for-profit business entity. So we kind of have two entities. We have our consulting, and then we have our ministry, if you like. I know obviously it's all ministry, but we have like loss-making exercises, and we have profit-producing exercises, and we run them under one banner, right? And the reason why we did that was because I never had to ask anybody for anything. I could just internally fund our own work. Great, great model. What the Lord started to show me this year is the vision I've got for you is way too big for you to underwrite your vision,
right?
Which is really humbling when you thought since 2000 and, you know, whatever, like over 12 years that we will always underwrite. There's a little bit of like we underwrite, right, our own stuff. And so what's happened is we have two entities now. We have a ministry entity that is standalone, right? That has the mandate now to take what we've done in Australia and go global with it. Mm-hmm. And so the Kingdom Business Movement, the Kingdom Business Summit, like you just referenced, you know, I mean, you and I, Bob, did a little one in Nashville last year as our official launch. We'll come back to Nashville later in the year and do a bigger one. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got other events around the country. So, and then, you know, I've got London asking me, I've got, you know, some of Singapore and Asia asking me to come and establish there. So what does the next kind of thing look like? Yeah, it's taking this concept of the super practical sales, marketing, recruitment, HR, deep scripture, weaving it together, and just training people to go and walk that out in their own life. And instead of doing it back here in Australia, which is the back blocks of the desert, taking it out to a broader reach and just trying to impact as many people as we possibly can with that.
Well, give people kind of a menu of what you build, because we're in the last few minutes. I'd love for people to know how to get a hold of and just benefit from that ministry and from your organization.
Yeah, perfect. So, I mean, the URL would be kingdombusiness.global, kingdombusiness.global, to go there and have a bit of a look around. And then just to connect with me, because I love connecting with people from all over the world on social, just at Wes Hone, W-E-Z-H-O-N-E. And we're putting out content all the time across most platforms. And if you want a YouTube handle, then youtube.com/kingdombusiness. And there's like 700 training videos up there that people can access.
Now, before Wes goes, one of the things, you know, he said that he underwrites his events. But talk about the model of how much it costs to go to one of your events, because this is what I love about Wes is doing. He wants everybody there. And so he has this pricing model that doesn't make any earthly sense.
Well, that was the goal, right? There's a few reasons why I do my pricing model. One is to smash paradigms, because I want people to know that not everybody's on the take. Yeah. And two, I want the hurt. As a businessman, if I turn everything, my natural way is to turn everything into a profit producing exercise. I need the cost to keep me in check. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, the event would cost, I mean, I stop counting at a certain point how much these events cost and just turn a blind eye to all the labor that goes into them. But it would be 100,000 or something like that to put on a 2.5 day event. And so people buy tickets for like, I don't know, like $99 or $30. Because what we do is we let somebody buy one ticket for like $99 and then for 2.5 days. And then they can buy like heaps more at $30, and they just buy them and then they go and give them out to their friends. And that's how we rally such a big audience. So we don't cover anywhere near the cost of the event through a little bit of sponsorship and ticket sales. But I need that cost to show my allegiance to the Lord that I'm prepared to pay a price for his assignment.
Oh, it's so good. I love that so much. Well, we love everything you're building, Wes, and we'll be with you in friendship and in heart. And I know Bob will be with you next year, but for all that you're building, and I'm just so glad that there's people like you. We need more ministries. And I think the days of just having a few solo ministries out there that are doing things and like Full Gospel, who I love, and there's other ministries for years, decades that were pioneering, but the new generation of pioneers like you have come, and it's changing everything. We're so excited about that. If you want to get a hold of Wes, make sure to visit his website, go to his YouTube, look him up on social media, and also come visit us at our YouTube. We'd love to have you join us at our website as well, where you can ask your questions, which might be featured on a future Exploring the Marketplace episode. So go to bowlsministries.com, click on Ask a Question to Sean and Bob, and we'd love to hear from you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening to Exploring the Marketplace, where we have weekly episodes to keep your work and life full of courage and hope. If you enjoyed our question of the week, come and be a part of by asking your question at bowlsministries.com or in the comments, where we might include it in a future episode.
Also, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and be a part of the conversation by following us on our Exploring the Marketplace YouTube channel or at our socials at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan on most social media platforms. Visit us at bowlsministries.com, where you can find our book, Wired to Hear, when you're looking for what God has to say about your career, influence, or entrepreneurship.
We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.